desce. Yeah, yeah, sobe, sobe, yeah, yeah, sobe e desce, yeah, desce e sobe, yeah, sobe e desce, yeah, desce e sobe, yeah.
Ready for my mama, picture perfect, call it Picasso. Emma and you rolling like a Lamborghini, feel like a wake up in the morning.
Welcome to the day.
Is that what? No. Don't welcome nobody. Don't welcome nobody, dog.
What happened, man? It's the beginning of the podcast.
You're in an infinity pool. Is that what was going on? You're thirst trapping. They call that thirst trapping. You're thirst trapping?
Okay.
No. I was just told that you were in an infinity pool. So did you have your shirt off?
I did.
You're thirst trapping. No. Just give me the answer. Were you thirst trapping?
Yes, and yes. You're gonna love this though. So I'm at a wedding.
Okay.
Former teammate of both of ours.
Yeah.
Not gonna put him out there, but former teammate. A lot of people were talking about you, asking about you, all your boys. Anyways, my brother's wife. We were on vacation years ago, and I took a picture in a pool, and I said, I love that picture you took. She's like, oh yeah, do it again. So I got ready, and she goes, but she said, I got to tell you what I tell your brother. You got to flex your back.
Wow. So you flex the back?
So you flex the back the right way, and then boom.
You remember what our boy Carlos used to call that? The walkaway?
Walkaways. You got to work on your walkaway muscles.
Believable. I love it.
You flex your walkaways and you snap the photo. Thirst trap central. You know what? Nothing goes over your head, brother. Nothing goes over your head.
Speaking of Carlos told me one of the things that I think actually promoted my career or prolonged my career.
Shout out to Carlos Edmonds. Go ahead.
Yeah. Love Carlos. Carlos. Cost me a lot of money because I went and bought the biggest house I could find because I saw his house.
In Atlanta.
Right, in Atlanta.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I saw him, Tequio. I saw that, like, you know, when I was coming up, they're my OGs. So I went to the house. I saw Tequio's house. I said, oh, my God. I saw Carlos's house. I said, oh, my God. I saw what was going on there. I said, I want some of this. Said, I need a house just like this. So everything that I'm seeing happens in my house.
I have never experienced anything like that until I went there in the off season.
Crazy.
And saw the parties at Los's and saw the parties at Spike's house. And I said, this is everything I dreamed of.
Yeah, this is exactly what the league has to offer. Yeah, it was cool.
Shout out to Tequio Spikes, Carlos Edmonds for making OC buy the biggest house that he shouldn't have done that.
Very stupid. Very stupid thing to do.
I have to ask something. This is serious. Serious pivot away from me, thirst trap and flexing my back muscles. That is, you have your black shirt on, and your black shirt is corporate only. So do you have a meeting after this, or have you just blessed us with your corporate shirt for the podcast?
No, so first of all, this is it's called a jury shirt. You know what a jury shirt is?
No. Tell me.
Okay,
more.
So like when you're on trial in court, you know the shirt you wear to make yourself look innocent? That is jury shirt. You sit there like this, J-Well. You're like this. No, damn well, you did what they accused you of. You think the shirt's going to set you free.
My stomach is cramping.
So it's called my jury shirt.
But it can't be too flashy.
Oh, no, it has to be.
And you got to look slim and slightly malnourished. He hasn't been eating. He's stressed out. He must be innocent.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Oh God.
This is
bad. We're terrible people.
We're going to hell, both of us.
Oh, God.
Straight to hell, my guy.
Oh, that's terrible.
No. So let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth.
Tell me more.
So, I just came back from the movies, and that's why. Yeah, I went to the movies. But
did you do your old school movie?
I went to the movies for a very different reason than why most people go to the movies.
Tell me more.
So I do love the movies. And
you do?
The movie I saw today was called The Invites. And it happened to be a very, very good movie.
Good acting, the whole nine?
I mean, Olivia Wilde, I think is the name. She directed it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen was in there. Edward Norton, Penelope Cruz. It was a great film.
Oh,
I enjoyed
quality.
It.
Quality. Yeah.
Quality film.
Yeah.
But that's not why I went to the movies, Jacob.
Okay. Tell me more.
So I'm traveling on Saturday.
Oh, no.
I'm getting on a plane. And it is a very, very long flight.
Yes.
And so usually on the flights, I like to entertain myself with a very, very particular candy.
I think I...
Yeah.
Tell people.
Yeah. So it's the wine gums, but they're not regular wine gums, okay? They're the wine gums that have been left outside, right? In the little pick and mix. So they've been left out there. So they get very, very hard, right, J-Bell?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like, you can see little kids' fingerprints. So they are particularly tasty. So whenever I'm traveling, I open to see the movie theater. Like, what movie? What movie's playing? Can I go see? So, because you can't buy them from the store, J-Bell. The ones in the store, you know, they're in the packet. They're fresh.
Yes, they're not the same.
No. They have to have been like they need to be almost stale.
Yes. you like the oxygen to hit them.
Yeah.
Just stale. Just, you know, make them solid.
And then they have to have the fingerprints. They have the
God, fingerprints they're your natural flu shot.
Hold on, J-Bell.
They build up your immunity,
bro. Hey, listen. True story. I'm not even making this up. The last time I went to the movie theater, I really went this time. I didn't go for the reason I went today. And so I go into the movie theater and I go into the section to get the candy to eat at that particular time. I swear, J-Bell, was these two boys. I was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And they're like, oh. And then they walked away. They just had, bro, they were putting their bare hands in the thing. Oh, man.
I'm never
these
eating,
are funny.
Ever eating that in the movies. Ever. Ever. It's horrendous. That's a walking virus.
Or walking. But they're delicious, J-Bell.
It's something
delicious.
About it.
It's something about them, man. It's a trade-off. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Oh, my. Do you got enough for the flight? You good to go?
Bro, you want to see my pack? Do you want to see my pack?
I want to see a pack. I want to see a pack. I need to see this pack. Now, for those who don't see the video, because there is no video, OC is now taking off his headphones. He's now rubbishing through his drawers. He's on his way back to show us the pictures.
You know,
headphones are going in right now.
I think I think a lot of times, Jason.
Yes.
A lot of times people really think that I just be making up things.
No. This is honest. Oh my God. Why have you vacuum packed all the bacteria?
All of it. It's trapped in. It's trapped in this bag, J-Bell.
Hey, if you fly internationally, when you land, they'd be like, did you bring something in? Were you on some farmland? You got to be like, well, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Gee, I got my pack, man. I'm ready to go.
Oh, my God. You know what, man? That's what I needed to hear. Because, I mean, you are a simple man in first class. You're a simple man in first class.
I like the little things, J-Bell.
You're a simple man in first class. Can I ask you something else I was thinking about since we're talking about traveling and a simple man in first class? Before we dive into other things that happened yesterday, a simple man in first class, I was reading something or listening to something. I don't know which one it was, but this concept, and I want to know your opinion on this concept. The concept is called airport divorce. Hear me out.
Okay.
You've flown with your family and past OC life. OC's had other people he's flown with. You get into an airport and people have different ways of approaching traveling.
Yes.
And a lot of times they lead to disagreements, falling out, all kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because of personality traits that might be different. But then you survive it and you think you have to now fix it all. And I'm sorry I said this and now it's all good and fine. Why not walk into the airport and you look at that person and be like, I see you on the plane.
Okay.
I see you on the plane. Because now, however you want to manage yourself, do it. Do it.
Okay. Okay. So, So I like the concept. I like the concept.
I don't even know. I just thought it's interesting.
I like the concept. I think it's a good concept. But here's where I have a problem with that concept.
Give me more.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've had some serious trepidation and issues while traveling with other people.
Yes.
I have. But it's really been about one thing and only one thing in particular. Okay?
Tell me more.
I could be going on a month-long trip. I'm not checking in any bags, David.
No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm not checking in any bags.
You're not.
I don't care how long I'm going for. I am not checking any bags. I will literally, because I used to wash my own clothes in Nigeria, I will wash the clothes, hand wash, hang them on the back. Like, I will do that rather than check a bag.
Wow. I've seen you put a suit in a backpack.
In a bag, yeah.
I said, where's your suit for the game? It was folded up in the back. He said, there's an iron at the hotel. I said, oh, so you are something else.
I'll iron it up. That's my philosophy. But there are a lot of people that can't actually do that, J-Bell.
No, they can't.
Can't do it. And so you land at the airport, even if you do split, even if you do go your separate ways, number one, at the beginning, when you land, if you're with that person.
You got to wait.
You got to wait.
This doesn't help you.
It doesn't help me at all.
The thing you sacrifice for, you have no benefit.
I have no benefit from it. So, no, it doesn't necessarily help me, man.
So you would go you'd get the peace of just floating through airport security and all that. But like you said, at the end, all of this sacrifice, this is where it pays off. You got to stand there and wait like the rest of us.
I got to stand there and wait, J-Bell. And I hate it.
Doesn't work for you.
I cannot stand it, J-Bell. I can't. It bothers me, man.
I can see that because think about from a personality trait, like I was a last guy to the locker room. You were first guy in, first guy out. You got in early, but you didn't wait around. You were out of there. If we're working, you come, you're on time, you give everything you got, but you're out of there. There's no lingering. You're gone. You're out. So this right here would really, really make you upset.
Yeah, you know? I have to sit there in the airport and, you know, I guess socialize with people.
You know that look you just gave me? That look you gave? That look of just that blank stare, like you didn't want to say anything because you didn't have anything to say kind of look? That's what people feel like today.
Oh, boy.
That's what people feel like today.
It feels like the air has been sucked out of the UK. It feels like
tell me because you know I'm on the West Coast and I watch it here.
I just had a thought.
Tell me more.
Who's the Prime Minister? I don't know who the Prime Minister is right now.
It's gonna be isn't it gonna be? Oh gosh, I don't know. I know there's things happening right now, but I can't put my hand right. Like you asked the question and I did not have the direct answer. And usually we're more equipped politically.
Well,
oh gosh.
We're here. We're in the, I'm in the UK. Well, you have an excuse.
Yeah. I don't have an excuse. Family. No.
I don't know who the prime minister is. I have to Google. Let me see.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's Google this.
Oh, my gosh.
Who is the UK prime minister right now?
our producer, Simon, is
Oh, Keir Starmer.
We know he did his resignation, but it's Andy Burnham. He's going to take over. Yeah.
Yeah. So now is.
But I think it's soon though. It should be in by the end of this month. He's to take over.
So he resigned, but he's still the prime minister.
Well, they're passing over. You got to
transition.
Yeah.
So his resignation wasn't effective immediately. It's just like, I'm just going to resign.
Yeah, I don't think you walk out that day, right? I mean, to be honest, we've been here for several of them, so we should know better timing-wise. And that question was not on the test, actually. So yeah. I don't. But yes, I know what happens at the end of this month, 20-something, and that's when it goes down.
But you know, in all honesty, I think that speaks to something.
Tell me
that
more.
We have to acknowledge, and to be frank, appreciate. Because there's something that you said there that was quite serious, and it's true. We have been through several.
Yes.
I can think of at least five. You know what I mean? And that really, in a lot of other countries and societies, that would be chaos.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like chaos here.
It doesn't.
You know what I mean?
And it does not.
That's actually... As terrible as it is that's happening, that's actually a beautiful thing.
That I hear what you're saying.
You can go through all of this, but society, you created such structure and such discipline that society just moves on.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, too. That's a good way you rationalized it. I think, you know, living here, during Brexit, seeing all that happen, it seems like it's been this evolution of changing tides, right? And to your point, I appreciate the check on power, on individual power, because you see the power of the party. Obviously, the people vote for the power of the party. And then if the leader that represents the party is not doing what the party wants, then we have a problem. And you look at over in the USA, where if the party had the power, they definitely would have moved on from the person at the top of the pulpit to keep that power, because this person is not doing exactly what they were prescribed to do.
So I'm just thinking, is this a, and this is just a, because we've gotten to this part and we didn't know we were going to get here.
We never know what we're going to get, bro.
Is this a better system of government? Because I can't really, there's very few places that I can picture something like this happening. Whereas the leadership changes like that, but everything just seems normal. Like you're on the train, people are just, they're going about their business. It doesn't seem like turmoil. I can't, like the two other places that I've lived, Nigeria and America, I can't see it happening like that. I feel like if it was just the rate of change at the top, there would be anarchy in both places.
Right. Okay. Understand what you're saying. Do I think it's better? I think it's what people are used to, what they understand. So I believe that, and we talk about democracy as a whole all the time, is that democratic institutions work based on the knowledge of the people, the population. And I think if you understand how it works and how it goes, then that would alleviate the pressure and the pain of the turmoil you're talking about. It's because you understand it, right?
Right.
And when I look at it and we look at it and we go, I don't necessarily understand it. I do understand it now more because I've lived there. But if you were just to throw that on my plate, the question you pose, I'd be like, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That they it doesn't seem like there's, you know, going to be this political revolution based on this, you know, because they're not married to a single individual and someone in a high, I don't want to say tyrannical position, but just that one person, maybe because there's a monarch. You already have a little bit of that.
Something like that.
You have that. So the way that works and is structured, I think it really works well. I will say this. You said something that made me think. Regardless of what institution you live in, it's like anything. Like, as people, we're supposed to evolve, get better, learn, adjust, right? And I do believe institutions should have that. They should have their core beliefs. But as things change, as we evolve, technology, knowledge, whatever, there should be subtle shifts that we all agree on that should take place. And when people don't agree that should happen, I think, imagine that was your approach towards everything in life. We'd be living, you know, we wouldn't have electricity. I'm being facetious now and just being dramatic. But still, you think about it, like, change should happen, especially based on technology and information. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this is my first time in my life, you know, living in the UK and loving being there and trying to respect their institutions. You've done this your whole life, so you can bring in all of this knowledge, which allows you to pose some very thoughtful questions to make us all think.
So yeah, England lost to
Argentina. I hate you. I can't.
No, come on, bro.
Hey, let me, before you finish, this is for everybody on this journey with us. We started this podcast because this is our conversations.
Yep.
This is a group. This is how we would talk. And this is what how the world
100%. This is how it goes.
Okay, finish. Oh my God.
England. So Argentina.
Oh, Thomas.
This is actually cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying this in general, like, this is cool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. England lost to the Argentinian people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And there's a couple of questions now that I have to answer.
Tell me.
As you know, Ronaldo has been my goat.
Yes, he has.
Love Ronaldo. And I fought for many, many, many years that he was a better player than Leo Messi. I did. But I have to give credit where credit is due now. I have to come down off of my high horse and I have to admit openly and publicly that Lionel Messi is the best soccer player I've seen in my life. He's the best. He is. I think I've always known that when I look back at it, but I just have a preference for Ronaldo. And so rather than, you know, saying, okay, try to differentiate and be like, this one's a better soccer player, but I prefer this one. I just said this one was better. You know, like, being truthful, there's no planets in which Ronaldo is a better player than Lionel Messi. No, I just prefer the idea of how Ronaldo got to where he got to. I prefer that.
The work ethic, the sacrifice?
Yeah, like, I prefer that. I feel like Messi, to me, even on the pitch, he seems nonchalant in a way, but he's just spectacular. And there's no doubt that he worked hard, and he works hard constantly. I know that, but it just seems like he has a gift. And there's nothing you can do as an individual to be as good as Messi. Nothing. But I believe there's things you can do to be as good as Ronaldo. I believe that.
Okay, I like this conversation.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think, I remember a good friend of mine who I love to give love to, Harrison Smith, okay? Because I love his game, his safety, Minnesota Vikings, where he's, we'll see where he is next year. But I remember him telling me something about how his demeanor has to be on the field because guys are looking at him, especially younger guys. And he says, I can't get emotional because they're looking at me. And when you were talking, and I think about the stars I play with, you being one of them, sometimes I think as a player that was on the same team with you, I like to look at you and stray off the edge and think it looked easy. It made me more, it made me feel like, oh, we got a chance because these guys got superpowers.
Yeah.
Like when you'd come out with the gold cleats and I'd be making fun of you and you'd be doing your starts, I'd be like, oh, you got it today. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. It comforted me.
Yep.
Because that impacted the way I was going to play back there.
Mm.
And I think the stars looking nonchalant and like, this is easy and don't ever stress. It comes, you hear the ghetto bird?
Yep. It's okay.
We're not in the ghetto though.
You don't look like you're in the ghetto.
No, we're
at
not
all.
In the ghetto. Moms don't live in the ghetto. But we call that the ghetto bird. Sorry, helicopter going over the top.
Cool.
But it makes the players around feel so relaxed. Mm-hmm. Even maybe the fans, because you got this. You got this. And even when you do show emotion, it's kind of like a little bit, and then everybody rallies to you and like has your back, how they do with Messi. But I remember, was he looking at Jew when he was just like looking at him and being like, oh, you know, they were talking about something.
Yeah, it was
just like a little, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. It's all right.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Okay. Man, that is powerful when you're that kind of player. Guys like me can't be like that. It has to be emotion. It has to be like that. That's what we bring. I would have been the guy you brought on just to get in a couple fights. But I think as you discuss this and watching that game, like, I think the team and the country feeds off of that, knowing we got that dude.
Yes, 1,000%. But I think that what I meant by my previous point was, okay, let's say the defensive line that we played on, right? You had Tuck, you had me, you had Strahan, and I think you could work hard enough. We had like a specific, in terms of athleticism and you know, skill set, it was right there together.
Yeah,
you understand what I mean. The difference between us as players was like, I think it was as a result of just work.
Yeah,
and then on the other hand, you had a guy like JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul. He possessed something that neither me, Strahan, or Tuck had.
Okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, if you were going to play defensive end, and God was going to be like, okay, I'm going to build a defensive end, he would build JPP. Like,
didn't
to me, that's a gift.
At the combine?
He just backflipped. And we would watch him play, right? And there were things he would do and he didn't even know he was doing them. You know what I mean? It just came natural to him. Things that none of us could do. You know what I mean? So to me, there's a difference between those type of players. There's players who have to work.
Yes.
And then there's others who just, even though they work hard, they're gifted in such a way that it just makes things very, very different. And that's why I say, that's why I believe that there's the difference. That's the difference between a Messi and a Ronaldo.
Okay, I totally agree. And I'm glad I follow you. Do you think we like the players that work harder because that allows us to have a chance to achieve it too?
That's what I'm saying. And I think that's what my preference was.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was seeing. I was like, but you can't be Messi. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. There's nothing you can do.
You just have to enjoy it.
You just have to. You can't. There's nothing you can do. There's no amount of work you can do, J-Bell, that will get you to be as good as Lionel Messi. But I believe there's amounts of work you can do that will get you to be as good as Ronaldo. And I think that is why my preference was Ronaldo as opposed to Messi.
I totally see it now too. I remember a book I read on Joe Montana back in the day, and it talked about how hard he worked. And I thought, I'm just going to work hard and I can make it and I can achieve. If that book would have just been like, he was born like this, and then he
felt like this, like
that, I'd have been like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it.
How hard do you think you could have worked to become Deion Sanders? There's nothing, you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do about that.
You can't even mimic the things he does.
You know?
Because you can't do them. Everybody tried. Oh, this is how Deion stands. This is how Deion turns. Nobody's Deion Sanders. You might as well forget it. So, to your
Megatron,
point.
Megatron, I'm going to run. No. What can you do?
That's why we celebrate them dudes as the greatest, and we put them on a pedestal in a room for the pedestals. So, that makes a lot of sense to me. Does it make any sense to you, man, as a guy who has been coached by and seen a lot of different styles, and people have been persecuted for the lack of success. I mean, old Thomas is getting a lot of heat, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that was
does he deserve
decision.
It? Why? What do you think?
Well, yeah. the problem is when you're playing a team like Argentina,
yeah,
that has that much spirit, right? It's very easy for us to sit back and second guess what he did as a coach.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they were ahead by a goal.
Yeah.
You almost have to think opposite when you're playing a team like Argentina than you would regularly, because they thrive in the type of situations where they're like down, they galvanize. That's where they're dangerous. And so your first instinct is, okay, they're down, they're going to, so you bring on more defenders, right? You sit in the defensive shell. But that's kind of what they want you to do. And so if you see it as the game progressed and England started to get more and more defensive, they were pinned into their own half.
That's it.
And
where
them
are you out?
Boom, boom, boom. And it reminds me about something I heard Pep Guardiola say one time. And he was talking about playing against a particular type of team. And he said that in some situations, you play against a team that has so much spirit that the minute you get them down, right, they have the ability to turn it up to a completely different level. And then, so if you get them down after like the first 10 minutes, he was like, you now suffer for 80 minutes.
Man.
You understand what I mean? And that's what happened to England. They suffered. They got them down. This team was like, okay, we've been here before. And they just pinned them back. And it was just cross, cross, ping, ping, ping. It was a beautiful display of football. I hate to say, the goal by Hernan Fernandez.
Oh, man.
Just placed it in there off of his right foot, in step. Beautiful goal. The whipping by Messi on the second.
Oh,
I mean,
my
God. Just
ridiculous. The way that ball curved, what it did, you're like, how does a person do that?
Yeah.
How does that happen? And guess what you've done?
You've
taken it all the way down to 33.
Already?
Yes, it was flying.
Golly, was that's flying. Amazing, man.
It
I'm going
flying.
To Japan, by the way, next week, J-Bell.
You
so
going
I don't
to Japan?
Know. Yeah, I'm in Japan next week.
Enjoy yourself. I love it. I love the food. Eat the food in the train stations. It's unbelievable.
The train station?
Are you going to Tokyo?
I'm going to Tokyo.
Okay, so the main train station, go underneath.
Yes.
It's like a mall. Eat. It's so much food. Just walk through there.
Oh, you just walk and buy the food and eat.
No, you go into the train station and you go down a level and it's just food. It's like a mall, bro.
Is it a food market or
is
it food?
Yeah, it's all kind of stuff. And then let me know where else you're going besides there. But Japan is unbelievable. Are you going to take the bullet train at all?
Nah, because I don't think we're going to Osaka or Kyoto.
Okay.
I think we're staying in.
Kyoto and Osaka are great, but yeah. Because you can sit on the right side of the train and you can see Mount Fuji. But anyways, if you do it, I'll let you know. I'm really happy for you, bro. This is great. This is great. That's why you
candies.
Got... Okay, okay. Long flight, good time. I mean,
exactly.
You're going to enjoy
seems
this, man.
Like a lot, though. Yeah.
You know, I like your off-season so far.
It's been cool. It's been really cool.
You need a vacation and... The England fans don't trip out. It was a beautiful game, and it was hard, and it was it fed right into the hands of Argentina, which is OC broke down beautifully. We're gonna miss you. We're gonna find out when we're gonna do this pod, though. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out because the show must go on.
The show must go on. Thank you, everybody. Like, listen, subscribe, comment, send us all them messages. Let's have conversations because we got to keep this thing growing. We appreciate it, just like OC appreciates the grubby hands of little people in his candy. Till next time, the Jason and OC podcast. Our producer Simon is probably depressed and drinking right now. We'll see you next time. Holla at that was funny.